From the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day!
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption, with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, and he's brought to you by Waddle's Guys.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW, all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big. I bet Michael was as enthralled with Hard Knocks and Dan Campbell and the Lions.
Don't start us off on a bad note. Don't start us.
Yeah, but he was dialed in. Enjoying it like you.
Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
Whenever I watch Hard Knocks, it'll be the first time I've ever watched Hard Knocks ever for a minute. You get a fine in my house if the TV stops on Hard Knocks.
Matthew gets fined for watching Hard Knocks if he were to do it.
That's right. Fined.
How much?
That's like watching a Hall of Fame game. You get fined.
How much of a fine?
Big fine.
$10? $20?
No, $100.
$100?
$100. Hanging. I'm a hanging judge.
All right, here's my question to you. If I gave you, you either had to watch all of this year's Hard Knocks with the Lions, mm-hmm. or you have to watch Showtime with the Lakers on HBO, and you have to pick one. Which one are you choosing?
He's watching Hard Knocks.
The Lions.
Yeah.
I'm not watching. Thank God. Thank God that there's quicker control in America. Because those two things, I ain't watching.
By the way, I was wondering this, and then we'll get to Roquan. I want to tell everyone what's going on there. I heard Carmen DeFalco read another promo for another Lakers series, another Laker 10-part documentary.
I know.
When did this happen? Is this the Bulls Shaq effect, or is this like the Last Dance effect that everyone's like, what can we do next?
Yes, Jeter. By the way, I said I was never going to watch an episode of Jeter, and it is great.
Oh, see how that works. Now, open your brain.
Tom Brady's never said a word that I would ever repeat, much less watch play back.
What?
But you know what? I bet that was better, because the thing about Jeter and Tom Brady, and I find this similarly, they decided to be vanilla. That clip of Jeter where he's saying, "Listen, I did this purposely." I believe every word of that, and I believe Tom Brady did it too. Those guys are too smart to just come off as that empty and vapid. And once I met Jeter, and I'm not going to say I know Derek Jeter because I don't. But once I have been around him in private social settings several times, I found him thoroughly enjoyable. And I'm sure that Bart Charles says the same thing about the GOAT, about Brady. But, you know, there's nothing that they did in their careers that makes me want to pay attention. So I got to start from scratch for both of us.
It's amazing.
So what do you, like, this is kind of a downtime. I mean, all you got is preseason football. You don't have any NBA. You've got some baseball, but both our teams are perplexing. Oh, great. What is on your television viewing plans? What is on your list?
Law and Order reruns, catch up on FBI before the new fall season of FBI. I'm an old guy. I'm a scripted drama dude.
Little Murder, She Wrote, maybe, if you've got time.
No, Murder, She Wrote, but I I'm not going to be anywhere near watching sports. I'm in California now, enjoying a few days off and some time back at the golf course, trying to build my game back brick by brick, which is seriously the hardest thing I've ever done.
Really?
Trying to get just back to where I used to be a few years ago before real life, and parenthetically, Matthew's life got in the way. And, of course, his sports life, which you guys know I'm teasing.
Of course.
Yeah,
we've been through it. My golf game went in the crapper when my kids came to town.
Tommy, you did not adequately warn me that was going to happen. You just sort of looked at me and smiled and said, you have no idea.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But tell me, though, that shooting a good round of golf always plays second fiddle to watching your son play basketball and enjoy the hell out of himself.
Yeah. Not only that, I played with him yesterday, and this was a humiliating day. Matthew was hitting, he was hitting driver 20 yards by me.
Ooh.
And he felt felt so bad for his pathetic father. He just kept saying stuff like, yeah, well, Dad, you're just coming off surgery with the foot. That has to be something, right? You're just rusty, Dad. No, I'm old and I stink, and you are now hitting the ball 25 yards back.
Wow.
All right, so here's the latest with Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith today, yesterday, he came out with the trade demand. Today, the Bears now are taking him off the physically unable to perform list, which then would give them the right to fine him if they choose up to $40,000 a day.
I think just to add this, interject this real quick, I think that, you know, you expose yourself to, I would think, some interrogation or some investigation from the league if, in fact, you're playing with the PUP list with a guy that's not physically hurt. So I think they did Roquan a solid, but
the first week or two,
there had to be an end to it. Otherwise, they're circumventing rules with the league that probably would have gotten them in trouble.
So, which
I don't want to parse this. I want to cut to the chase on this.
Good.
The Chicago Bears are looking like a dumb, selfish, petty somebody thinking, "Let's get rich before we die." Every decision they make is petty and stupid and small time and small town and not befitting of a franchise that is a flagship franchise of the most important entertainment sports media, entertainment sports industry in this country. It looks lame and lazy and dumb and petty. All of the things taken together. I don't know whether it is just ownership or ownership and the new team of people they have put in place. But all of them look like they are not worthy of the support of Chicago at this point. If it's just negotiating, I got no problem with it. Fine, I'll take it back. But if this is what it looks like to me, having covered sports for 40 years, they look like an organization that's just a fraud.
What are you upset in this particular incident, a situation where they'd like to extend him, but he's not a free agent. And if he wants the top money for an inside linebacker, don't you agree that maybe there's room to negotiate here?
Yes, there is room to negotiate. And I just said, if there's negotiation, fine. If that's what it is. I'm talking about the series of decisions, guys. The series of decisions they make, who they hired, what they did in the offseason, what they drafted, who they brought aboard, it looks like they're a fraud. They look like a team desperately trying to get to 0-17. And maybe they will. If they don't, I will be apologetic every week. I'll start with an apology. But right now, what they look like is a fraud of a team that isn't interested in really competing seriously or contending. That's what they look like today in August. It's not September 8 or 10 or whatever they tee it off. It's not that yet. And maybe they can do this on the kind of budget that ownership wants to do it on. Maybe they can do that. I am conceding it's possible. I'm not saying that I'm ready to go up and put on green and gold and move to the next state north. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is they are dangerously close to looking that way now.
Is this more too of a benefit of the doubt thing where this franchise for the last 36 years has been wandering the desert and you're frustrated? Like, you wouldn't just think this if the Bears had been producing highly and they have a new general manager, because we don't what the offseason moves are going to pan out.
We don't know yet. They could pan out. Look, they could be the NFL's version of the Bulls. A year ago, the Bulls were picked to win 34 games or something crazy, and it was wrong because that management team got it right. I as you know, I wasn't that skeptical about this Bulls management team. I thought there was some hope and promise there. I right now, as you can tell, I ain't feeling that. And maybe I'm wrong. But they have not earned any benefit of the doubt. Based on what?
That's kind of a, forgive me, I would have summarized it. That's kind of a macro view. The micro, let's look at the, and get your opinion on the specific Roquan issue. Fantastic player.
He's your best player. He's the best player on the team.
He is. Does not rush the quarterback, plays a position
they assigned him.
Wait, I get it, but like we all know, like, certain positions in certain sports have a higher value. Quarterbacks are paid more because they play a more important role. Guys who rush the passer are usually rated by most to be more important as well. Roquan Smith is asking to be the highest paid offline, off the ball linebacker in the league. That would, you know, he's looking at Shaq Leonard, formerly Darius Leonard from the Indianapolis Colts, who's the highest paid player at this position, followed by Fred Warner, who's the 49ers middle linebacker. They both make $19 million plus. If he's not as good as them, do you fault the Bears for not wanting to make him the highest paid middle linebacker in the game?
I don't believe he's not as good as them. And by the way, there's room for negotiation. I agree. I don't care about the posturing. That's not what I'm basing this on. There's room. But he's your best player. And if he's your best player, maybe you've done something wrong as an organization. Look at yourself. Which they don't want to do.
But what would be an equitable contract offer for a player who isn't the best in the league at that spot?
I don't study the NFL numbers that closely.
Well, what if I told you they paid him or they offered to pay him as the third highest rated or highest paid middle linebacker in football?
Then maybe they could inch that up. Look, you guys know this is how you handle things.
Of course. Well, and the fact too, Mike, is he's negotiating for himself. He doesn't have an agent, so these things get personal, and the buffer doesn't exist.
And there are ways to go about this without being this contentious and, once again, petty. And I'm not saying Roquan is doing everything right or the way we'd like to see it. But if you lose your best player over something like this, and by the way, middle linebacker in Chicago has a history of not rushing the passer, yet it's one of the most glamorous. It is the middle linebacker of the Bears. Whose middle linebackers have got more glamour in history than that on defense? None. Nobody. Last I checked, Mike Singletary didn't rush the passer either.
Who was more important to that defense, Richard Dent or Michael Singletary?
You know what? I heard a lot of Mike Singletary from coaching staffs back then, even though I'm a Richard Dent guy. I heard a lot of that then.
Ask Rich.
Hampton.
Ask Rich.
Mongo.
Ask what Rich would say.
That will say it again. Oh, I know what Rich would say. I know what I would say back then, too. But I know what I tell you this. Once again, I covered pro football then.
I know.
And I know there were a lot of coaches who thought it was Singletary. Coaches that I talked to, offensive coaches, a couple of them in the Hall of Fame. Now, don't tell me that position is worthless in Chicago. I don't want to hear that.
Oh, no,
that franchise has spent a lot of time even basically, you know, brushing the shoulders over what that position has meant. I mean, Butkus didn't rush the passer every year. There were times, and by the way, it was a lot more.
Well, they threw four passes a game back then as well. So the middle linebacker was more important.
Again, you can make excuses. You can make excuses if you want.
I know.
But
you should have heard Mike and I when you were gone. Mike and I were yelling at each other about the stadium.
Oh, like, again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then at the end, we just hugged and Mike went to dinner at Chicago Cut and I went home. We had a great time, didn't we, Mike?
We did. We did. Who assigned Roquan Smith that? Whose system is he playing in? Do we know he can't rush the passer? People are moving around all the time now.
He's going to move
to a 4-3 and he's going to rush the passer. Oh, we're going to move to a 3-4. Come on.
Mike, nobody would move Roquan Smith to an outside linebacker position in a 3-4 defense and make him rush the passer.
But I don't know. Did Ray Lewis rush the passer?
No, he did not.
But he separated the ball. Roquan.
Okay. Listen, Mike, I'm a Roquan fan. I said 5 years, $90 million. Yeah, but if you're the tallest person on a team filled with short people, that doesn't mean that, you know, that
you know what?
Why do you got to take a swipe at us?
Manager, I'm just making an example. GM and your, it means your scouts are idiots. That's what it means.
But we can't attach the sins of the previous regime on these people just yet.
I can attach them to the whole. It's an organization under a banner.
Well, we can drive out to Arlington Heights and have this discussion.
He's not giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Hey. By the way, it's so great when I'm running the people, even here in California this morning, who before I start a presentation, I wouldn't call it a speech because it wasn't that. It was great when two people stood up and said, "Hey, we hate Arlington Heights. We're never going." I said, "Tell Waddle and Sylvie, call in the session."
Who are these people?
I hope you gave them the call-in number.
Great. It was great. I loved it. I applauded them.
It's easy to say in California, I'm never going to Arlington Heights.
Right. Yeah.
You're in California.
You're in Palm Springs right now playing golf courses that Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin used to hang out at.
It's about the same commute from Arlington Heights to Palm Springs. I'd rather be in Palm Springs.
Gotcha. Hey, but let me ask you this, because I usually ride arm in arm with you over a good Bears management rant. But again, I understand where you're coming from the benefit of the doubt. But Poles tried to be nice with Roquan and put him on the pup list when he wasn't injured, so he didn't have to get fined. It was Roquan who came out publicly and dropped this. The Bears have handled this actually pretty well, and then Roquan brought it to the public front with he took personal shots against the front office.
Let me ask you this. At what point does the Bears front office, is it not until we get to three games in, how far do we get before we can assess what the hell they're doing?
I want to see the season play out.
Play out?
Yes.
Well, you're talking about 17 games?
Yeah, give me the season, and then I'll dig in about the way I feel
If they start 0-4 and look like garbage, you want to wait for 13 more games before you weigh in on them?
Well, I would say this, Mike. For me, my eyes are going to be more specifically on what the game plan looks like. I've said Luke Getsy's the most important guy not on the field this year on this team. So if it looks like it makes sense, but the execution isn't great because they don't have the necessary pieces for this team to excel, which should come in 2023. Like, I'm being patient, but my patience wears thin at 2023. If it looks like it makes sense to me, I'll feel more comfortable, because when I watched Bears football last year offensively, what they were trying to do, the essence of what they were trying to do, didn't make sense to me.
It didn't make sense. Now, I'll give you that. That's coaching staff. There's a difference between coaching staff.
I agree.
They work hand in glove and your management staff. I'm not waiting 17 games. I want to see what. First of all, I'm not sure they can protect their greatest asset.
Yes, it's true. Look,
I don't need 17 games to see that and make that judgment.
If he's being pressured and he can't function and he gets hurt or something like that, look, we're going to evaluate every snap, every game. We're going to give our opinions. I'm just not ready to dig in. I thought, look, after a year, I thought Matt Nagy knew what he was doing. I was fooled. I was even after a year.
12-4 with a double doink. It looked like he did. You guys know I was a little worried even.
Yes, you were. You were in front of that quicker than anybody.
You know, and this time, I'm usually patient with new regimes. You know, but I will start the show gladly with you guys every week saying I was loud wrong. These guys seem to know what they were doing. They made some good calls here. They made some good calls. I got no problem with that. I'm hopeful, but I ain't real optimistic.
It's fair.
But not based on what we've seen so far.
Yep. Michael, great stuff. Enjoy California.
Yes.
And we'll see you when you get back to Chicago.
Mike.
All right, you guys. Be good.
There you go. There's Michael Wilbon.
Always love sparring with Mike.
He's great. So
he's great.
Was he in studio again last week?
Yeah. Was it last week that he was in studio?
Last week he was on the phone.
Was he? When did we?
Two weeks ago. I was at home because of the colonoscopy that day.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
But last week you guys were arguing about the stadium.
Oh, yeah, we were still arguing about the stadium.
Over the Lori Lightfoot interview, too. Yeah. You and I have never talked. You texted me after that.
I told you that. It was after I got my boil lanced, abscess lanced, and after I did that, I was helping my daughter, was going to help her move, so I was driving downtown and listened to the whole interview, and I sent you a text and said, that was a fabulous job. I thought it was great. Thought you did a great job with it. I thought she was a willing participant.
Yeah, she was into it.
I didn't agree with, you know, my stance is still the same. And I thought you treated her with respect, but asked the difficult questions.
She throws a lot of barbs out, but yet subjects herself to a ton of barbs.
Yeah.
Where she's like, where are the Bears going to get that money? I'm like, where's the city going to get the money?
No, I thought it was a great listen for 25 minutes.
Yeah. So I saw today, too, on WGN, on television, their website, they put something out that a lot of the politicians in town are unhappy with. Did you see this? The NASCAR race?
Oh, because
they're not getting as much money as they thought they were going to get.
Shocking.
And they get basically no concessions or sponsorship opportunities. The NASCAR, they're paying like $500,000 per day or something like that. Yeah. It's not.
Well, I would assume that the city also is in charge of paying for all of the construction with everything that needs to be done.
And they could have like a month to set up and then take it down to shut down these streets. All right. When we come back, I want to play you what Adam Schefter's biggest point on the Roquan Smith trade request is a good one that you won't want to miss. And if you want to react to how you feel about Roquan Smith, 312-332-3776.
Mom always said, have a heart. And now Great Clips is making that easy. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana and support the 14th annual Have a Heart campaign for the local Ronald McDonald Houses. With a donation of $2 or more, receive $2 off your next haircut. Show your heart by giving families the gift of comfort and care that the five local Ronald McDonald Houses offer to families in need. Great Clips has provided enough funding to keep over 11,000 families together for the night. That's a savings of over $6 million in housing and food costs when they are needed most. Please donate today. Check in online live with the Great Clips app or from the web. Check the wait time, get your name on the list, and get a ready next text when your wait is under 15 minutes. Head to the salon and get right in. Make mom proud and have a heart on now through September 2nd. Great Clips, going to be great. All salons independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We got another chapter in the Roquan Smith trade request or contract dispute, however you want to term it. We know what happened yesterday with that trade request. Today, the Bears are taking him off the PUP list. And that means he could be fined up to $40,000 a day if he does not participate.
That is correct. And if, in fact, he does not play in the first preseason game, and it's not because of injury, the Bears have the right.
They have the right.
To fine him 1/118th of his regular season salary.
So the 17 games stand alone, but if you sit out one of the preseason games, even if it's one of three, it's still
well, it's an 18-week season, because of the bye week. So they kind of divide the season into 18 weeks, not 17 weeks.
Well, right, but being the 18, I know there's 18 weeks, but the bye week being then the preseason, like if you sit out one of the preseason games, even if you play in two others, you still get a 1/18th taken away?
Yeah, I think that they have right. If you miss a preseason game because of a holdout, not because of an injury,
right,
then they have the right to think about it. Like if I'm sure you're asking for more arbitration if that's the case. If the team wants to fine you 1/118th of your salary and you can, I mean, how can you prove someone's hamstring isn't hurting? You know what I mean? So I guess, sure. What I mean? So the arbitration process can get nasty and different.
Right. Haven't some players done that where they complain of the hamstring?
Yeah.
Are they, ooh, my arm.
But I don't know how they could argue, well, you can't say that because you haven't practiced. Yeah. So it went from being kind of gentlemanly, the situation.
Drama-free. Sort of like the Roquan Smith thing was there, but there was nothing wrong, really. I mean, he wasn't practicing, which is wrong, but we were just like, okay, Roquan's still not back. But there was no drama. This brought on drama.
Like as you've brought up, which I think is very accurate, what's going on in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. There's really no drama there.
None.
And he's got a he's got a hold in as well, where he's actually practicing.
It's not a hold in. He's practicing.
Yeah, it's true.
He's there.
Right.
He wants a new contract, but yet now we'll see if something changes by the time the season starts, if he tries to withhold his services. Before we get to the phones, I want to play you some stuff from Adam Schefter. Schefty was on with us, and don't forget, Adam Schefter is going to be at Football Fest. Football Fest is a week from Saturday. We are going to have a great time at Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. You can sign up for free at ESPNFootballFest.com. This used to cost between $10 and $15 when it was the fantasy football conventions. This is a new event. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to be more interactive. It's going to have more of a focus, not just on fantasy football, but football in general and gambling and everything like that. And all of your favorites from ESPN Chicago will be there, along with Adam Schefter and Field Yates. So if you want to sign up and get in for free, ESPNFootballFest.com. Again, doors open at 10 a week from Saturday, August 20th. These VIP tickets that I'm about to give away to callers 5 and 8 for Roquan Smith being 58 are for VIP tickets. You will get your food and drink taken care of, complimentary food and drink. You will get an early access entry where you get a special meet and greet with all of us and Schefty and Field Yates. And other benefits like a special section to sit in that VIPs are allowed in. So callers 5 and 8, if you are able to go a week from Saturday, 312-332-3776. Let's hear from Adam Schefter, the first one. And look, hey, you know, he requested this trade, but can you really fault the Bears on all of this?
And I think the Bears are playing nice up until now. But at some point, that niceness has to go away.
Yeah.
And at some point, they're going to have to say, listen, we have tried to make you a fair competitive offer to make you one of the highest paid linebackers in the game. Either you want that offer or you're playing it out. Your choice.
Right. Hey,
It's not. And by the way, when you're talking about trading him also, now we'll bring in the rookie GM. So now the rookie GM, in his first big showdown with a player, allows a player who's under contract, who they're offering to make one of the highest paid players at his position, the freedom to go sit out and then, oh, we'll go trade you because you didn't get what you want.
Right.
That's probably not a great precedent for the rookie GM.
I thought that was a great point.
Yeah.
That the precedent that you're setting with your first dispute right away, he's under contract, you hold the power, and then if you relent and you trade him and just meet his needs, you can have other players do the same thing and think they're gonna run you over. You know, and I thought it was good stuff from Schefty. Here's more. I asked him the question, can the Bears get a first-round pick?
I don't know, but I don't think so. And I say that only because you have to pay the player and you've got to pay the Bears. And this is where it gets tricky, right? What team that's out there is going to be willing to pay him today north of $20 million? Is there a team out there?
That's a good question. To pay an off-ball linebacker, I'm not sure.
You would think it's a win-now team, right?
Yeah. You pay an off-ball that much money. Number one, how many teams have the space to do that today?
Right.
Number two, how many teams have the need to do that today? Number three, how many teams can have the space, have the need, and then also be willing to compensate the Bears to give them enough to make them want to trade the guy? Like, it's not a simple thing to do.
You know, it's such a dependent position as well at times. Like, I gave you the stats. The Bears were the 24th ranked run defense last year. They gave up 125 yards per game at 4.5 yards per carry. It wasn't because Roquan wasn't doing his job. But when Akeem's not available, Eddie Goldman's not available, Khalil Mack's not there, like, your defense becomes less vicious. So your middle linebacker then becomes a little bit neutered, despite the fact he's really good at his job. How can the most important person in your run defense, or so to be paid, can be part of the 24th ranked run defense, giving up 125 yards and 4.5 yards per carry? Like, he needs the big fellas up front to be there, to be healthy and taking the pressure off of him. Again, this is where the negotiation comes into play. I can tell you, Ryan Poles and the guys are saying the same stuff. You may not like it, but it's what they use against him.
Because then you say, when he is surrounded by all those guys, well, he's free. He's running free to the ball, and that's why he's getting the tackles for losses. He's doing it on his own without a free safety, by the way, in Eddie Jackson, who's whiffing on every tackle, not helping the secondary. They were banged up all year in the secondary as well. They were missing everything from that defense. What else did they have last year going for them?
Nothing.
Defensively, him and Quinn, right?
Robert Quinn set the franchise record for sacks.
Right.
So all the other stuff didn't affect him.
Well, I know, but you could. It wasn't like Roquan put up bad numbers. He was second team All Pro, wasn't he?
No, I'm not saying he does. I'm taking you inside the negotiation of what's going on right now. Again, I'd like him on my team. 5 years, $90 million seems equitable, doesn't it? Would make him the third highest paid linebacker in football. If they're offering him $17 million a year with the ability possibly to get to 18 and a half, is that an equitable contract? I mean, look, it's up to him. If he doesn't want to take it, he's going to find himself in a difficult situation.
Well, we were told about these de-escalator clauses, right? Like that, and you said those. That's a non-starter.
Right. For me, it wouldn't be.
So if they're steadfast, and Yurko said the same thing, you can understand that.
Of course.
There are reasons.
And if I'm Roquan, I'm telling them, look, I had horse manure in front of me. Like, I've been overlooked. Look at my numbers. I'm just telling you, when these conversations take place, usually it's the general manager and the agent for the player. When the player has to justify him being the highest paid middle linebacker in the league, despite him never going to a Pro Bowl and forcing one fumble in 4 years, when the guy that you want to be paid more than has been first team All Pro 3 straight years and has 17 forced fumbles, that's a hard sell, just from a negotiation perspective.
And it's even harder when the guy who's now your current head coach was the head coach of that guy. It probably makes it a little more difficult.
Braggs wants to weigh in. It's good to hear from Braggs. I think he was just at Family Fest yesterday at Soldier Field, brought his daughter. I think it was his first trip to Soldier with his daughter. He joins us from Northwest Indiana. What's up, Braggs?
Good. How are you guys doing? Long time no talk.
Yeah, where have you been?
Howdy.
I'm busy. I got a 4-year-old now, so I'm just all over the place. But I will say your new guy that screens calls, he's much nicer than Abdallah. So this is nice.
Wow. But Jake's filling in for Tyler. Yeah.
I'm kidding too, because congrats to Abdallah on the baby news. But anyway.
Yes.
I'm kind of on the opposite of Wilbon. I understand his frustration. He's kind of away from it. He's not at camp every day getting all juiced up like us Bears fans, and the Bears haven't been good for a long time. So I understand his hesitation to buy into anything. But I kind of with where you were going with this, Sylvie, hearing from Adam Schefter. I like the way Ryan Poles is handling this. It shows that he has a little backbone, not bending the knee right away. I mean, our last GM would give up draft picks for Nick Foles when he was going to get cut. It's like, I like what he's doing with the offensive line. He said, James Daniels, you don't fit what I'm trying to do. See you later. You're a talented guy. Best of luck to you. Who knows what going on with Tevin Jenkins, depending on what reports you believe, but it seems like they're telling him, hey, may the best man win. I like that. Our last coach didn't really feel like that kind of competition was taking place. And overall with Ryan Poles, just being at camp a couple times, and how I can drink the Kool-Aid when I go to training camp, as I always do.
You were a truther.
I'm a Kool-Aid drinker. So I admit it, fully admit it. But at the same time, from what I'm seeing at camp with Bayless Jones Jr., Jaquan Brisker certainly looks the part. Kyler Gordon in the first weekend showed he had some stickiness to the wide receivers. And now this Braxton Jones, the left tackle, I thought he had won that position by default. But now I've been to practice a few times, and it seems like he's holding his own more so than it just being a by default situation. And then you got some outside guys like Tristan Ebner and Dominique Robinson, and who knows what they could possibly turn into. So I like what I've seen from his draft pick so far. I like how he's shaking up the offensive line. He's an offensive line guy. He's from Boston College, so he's obviously got to be smart, right, Waddle?
Amen, brother.
That's what I'm saying. So, he's got his vision for this. And when the Roquan news hit, it sucks. We all like Roquan, but at the same time, I want my GM – to have a vision, and we all kind of just have to roll with it right now. Yeah, we can criticize when we get down the road if it doesn't look right, but I like what I'm seeing so far. So, you know, it's early. This team's got a long way to go, but it's a good foundational start. And, hey, they're running the I formation. The last coach, you know, didn't come here to run the I, so he picked a coach that actually understands the importance of running the football instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. So, you know, there are good signs. We don't have all the answers yet. See how they do with in-game adjustments and timeouts and challenges and all those things. But as of right now, I'm sitting on an optimistic side, but I'm keeping my expectations low so I don't freak out halfway through the season.
How was I know you went to Family Fest. I'm going to my first training camp with the kids up at Hallis. I've never been to a training camp practice for the fans at Hallis. How was that experience?
Hallis Hall is awesome. It's less of a circus than Bourbonnais. I'll always love Bourbonnais. You know, 12,000 fans going crazy, oohing and on for the long ball touchdowns and stuff. But Hallis Hall is a little quieter, but they got food trucks. Tried the brisket sandwich. Oh, you know, they got stuff for the kids.
You know I will, yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's really good. So I fully suggest you to do that. And, you know, it's cool. And to see the facilities is really cool, too. It's a longer drive for me, but that's okay. I can take it.
Get used to it, Arlington Heights.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, ain't it? Well, and I'll take that, too. You know, we got to make our sacrifices for the best of this team. But you'll enjoy Hallis Hall, and, you know, I hope you have fun. It was certainly fun taking Addie around and showing her the ropes for one day. But, yeah, I wanted to call and catch up while I'm on the road heading to O'Hare. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Braggs. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Yep. Much love. Later.
There's Greg Braggs. He is like one of the biggest Bears fans. Super Bears fan. We used to put him on Braggs in the Stands, remember?
Yeah.
From training camp years ago. All right. We'll talk crosstalk with Black and Abdallah. We'll see where they feel this is going with Roquan Smith. 312-332-3776. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special that includes golf and a cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah in studio with us. You can watch them on Twitch as well. And, you know, we were talking to them off the air about, I know the Roquan thing is hot and many people weighing in on that. We'll get to that. But we were talking to them off the air about the White Sox. We haven't talked much White Sox because of the Roquan Smith news. And
they don't inspire much conversation these days at times.
They don't. They were losing, and no offense to Len and the guys, but I turned it off and watched Prey instead of listening to the broadcast at the end of the first game.
I heard you talking about Prey earlier today.
It was good. Yeah, I liked it. I'm of the belief that...
It's set way back, right?
Yeah, it's set in 17-16. Yeah. And I'm of the belief that, like, this isn't original because I've seen other people tweet this and stuff, that you could take the Predator and put Predator in any time period and make it work. Like samurais, oh, guess what? Predator. Oh, guess what? Mob bosses? Predator. Now you got to deal with a Predator.
I like that's awesome.
Like whatever you do,
yeah, there could be a Predator.
Predator. Future? Predator.
And this is the prequel to Predator,
this
right?
This is like the, supposed to be the first Earth encounter with Predator. I would watch it.
Early 17-16.
Well, okay, there you go.
17-16.
Was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill in it?
No, they were not.
They were not 17-16.
No,
they were.
No,
in
they
it?
Were not in okay. it. No.
Is that a song reference for them? Or
no, they no, were the stars 18... of 1886 or whatever it was. 1883. What was it? I don't
remember.
Really
I never watched. You What's watched
that?
It.
It was a show. It was the prequel to Yellowstone.
Oh, how did I miss that?
It was fantastic.
Wow,
it was fantastic.
It was.
Here's the best part about Predator is that it's on Hulu. And it was only like an hour and 40 minutes. It was great.
That's doable.
In and out.
I could do that.
I was ready for game two.
That's basically like some of these long episodes.
Yes. You know? Yeah. That's like a stretch. Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Grayman was 2 hours and 9 minutes, I think.
It was 2 hours too long.
Yeah. Was it worth the time?
I mean, if you got nothing else going on, like if you're in a hurry or you need something, then
I never have anything going on.
Yeah. Then I mean, like it was, I don't regret watching it, but.
All right.
Like they spent $250 million on that,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. And they're making a second one.
Yeah, I mean,
they're making a whole franchise.
It was born. It was born with different actors.
Literally, it was born. Like, the premise is born.
Yeah. Okay.
See, this is how inspiring the White Sox are playing these days, because I brought up the White Sox for the first time all show, and we went into a what to watch for.
No AJ Pollock tonight.
Oh, listen.
AJ Pollock's got a sore foot.
Abdallah knows my theory. I'm not talking about him anymore. I mean, win some games. Then we'll talk. We're in football. No, seriously, we're in football mode. This team is so frustrating.
It is.
Each and every night they have an opportunity to get within a
half. Sox fan.
Well, I don't know if I would qualify as diehard, but they're my favorite baseball team. I'm you know, like, I just think they are so annoying this season.
It's very annoying.
I mean, we're going to the game on Friday.
There is no part of this season that's been enjoyable to this point. It has been false hope after false hope after false hope, and maybe it's this time. Here's another injury. I'm just sick of it. And the last game that they lost, where it was like 2-1, complete garbage. I'm over it. We're talking football. That's what we're doing. We're talking football.
Yesterday's game, yesterday's doubleheader,
pathetic.
Was
the
very
first game.
Symbolic. Yeah, of the White Sox. Like, Lance Lynn annoyed you. Their lack of hitting annoyed you, and you're like, oh.
No walks.
And then like they just do enough to win game two,
right?
Where they don't suck.
Yeah.
But they're not good.
No. Hendricks makes it interesting at the end. You're like, come on, dude. Then, just get a clean.
And then there are two more injuries coming out of the day, like there's been all year, with A.J. Pollock and the Tim Anderson news at the beginning of the day.
And then we sit on a day where they could get within a half game.
Yeah.
Like, it's right there.
Oh, look, here's what's going to get
the Guardians are now in first place.
They're going to get to the
Twins
playoffs.
I think they're going to still win the division.
They're going to get there. And then they probably
by how many? I've got a bet with Merkin. Merkin says they're going to win the division by 5.
Just win
everything
the division.
4 and under.
Who cares at this point?
It's called a bet. It's called a bet. That's how it works.
You said by 5 games?
You said by 5. Right. I think Waddle's got this. I think they may win by 2 or 3.
Game 163.
Well, not only do they have to get past the Twins, they've got to get past the Guardians.
Oh, wait. There's no more game 163, I don't think.
Oh, they don't do this anymore?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's been eliminated.
No.
They go to now, like,
Manfred again screwing up baseball.
I know.
We can't thrill our fans with a 163.
Don't call for that audio. It's gone. So.
Yeah, well, we lost that.
I heard you guys talk about it the other day.
Yeah, well, listen.
Some things have happened behind the scenes, Sylvie.
Why do you always, like, preface it by saying he was medically okay? Who comes to
you? Because we have to. Otherwise, it makes it sound like we're making fun of someone who's having a stroke on a podium.
Whatever happened? Did we ever find...
They claim that there was a delay in an echo, and that he
why
was.
Why didn't he just take his IFB out?
Plus, it's funnier if we point out that they made a statement saying he was healthy.
I love it.
Of course.
I don't think you could ever play the Manfred audio too much.
I used to take it out of my ear when I felt that the producer was yapping at me too much.
Shut up!
Yeah, okay, whatever we do.
Or when Jerry Krause was on the line.
Or, here, you finish this up.
That's great. I love that story.
Oh, man.
He's yours. He's all yours.
How about Frank Thomas screwing up the Field of Dreams game for everybody, too?
No, it was the Cubs. The Cubs Reds played, and Frank is like, no more big league games here.
You guys have 4 hours of pregame for that tomorrow?
Can't wait.
No, we have White Sox baseball at 1:10.
Okay.
So we're going to
Bears
camp. We're going to Bears camp tomorrow.
There's a day game. Okay, so you guys are on from around like 5 or at the end of the...
4:45.
From our homes.
And we'll be talking about what we saw at Bears practice. And it was first practice with Roquan being off of PUP.
Will you see... what do you guys think? Will you see him practice or not?
No.
I don't believe he'll practice tomorrow. I mean, they even said, whoever was tweeting said he has no win...
Rappaport.
No intention of practicing.
It was Rappaport.
I just want to know if you're going to have enough guys to field a 7-on-7 because 21 guys were out of practice.
You
today.
Bring in your cleats with you?
I pulled my hamstring yesterday at the baseball field.
How great would it be if Waddle showed up in his uniform?
One more coach
with the eye black on.
Go run one last route.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome. One last route.
One last route.
Come on, Waddle.
Yeah, they would take you.
Convince him to do this tomorrow.
I pulled my hamstring last night out at the baseball field in the cap and Brett thing.
You're still better than half their wide receivers.
I can't run. I barely can make it to my car in the parking garage.
Yeah, but you can still catch. It's all
that's true, but like I can't run.
It's all that matters.
I can't walk.
It's all right, short.
I can't walk.
Slant routes.
I can't walk.
All right, if you're going to Bears camp tomorrow, Waddle's going to show up in his uniform for one last
round. I'm here, Coach.
Justin.
Single bar face mask.
Hit Waddle over the middle and let someone pummel him.
Give me a quick
one last concussion. I do have my helmet and my shoulder pads from my playing days.
Please bring those with you. Those aren't equipment ready.
You couldn't play in that helmet anymore. Are you kidding me?
For one practice, they wouldn't allow that.
I love this.
My goodness. Thank you to John Shire, who the new coach at Duke.
I think you guys are going to like him more than the previous guy that was in charge of the program.
I'll like anybody more than the last guy. Come on.
You guys were doing the interview, and I'm sitting there, and I said to Chris, I'm like, this guy is the next coach at Duke.
It's incredible.
Like, it's so weird to think that Coach K's gone, and this guy is going to be the head coach at Duke. Great.
And to think that we watched him play high school basketball, it's pretty cool.
Adam Schefter, Michael Wilbon, great stuff. Fleck and Abdallah coming up, and then White Sox baseball.
I'm Duke.
Thank you to Jake Cantu filling in today for Tyler Aki. Great work by Jeff Meller. As always, for Waddle and Sylvie, it's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.